Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is God? Why, if God made us, do we have to even ask that question? With these questions, and another question, how? How can we be certain about God and who he is? With these questions, we'll turn to our Old Testament reading today, Genesis 1 and 2. Who is God? He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Only God creates. Only God brings things into existence out of nothing by his word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God speaks, it happens. Genesis 1 and 2 set before us an expansive, majestic mural detailing God's wonderful work of creation. God made everything, the formless deep, and the well-ordered universe. Sky, seas, land, sun, moon, and stars, ferns, grass, wheat, and cedars, and also ants and snails, spiders, salmon, orcas, crocodiles, herons, eagles, mice, border collies, bears, lions, gorillas, and human beings. The universe is covered with God's fingerprints because he made it all. In the beginning, God. God is holy and distinct from his creation. Before creation, God was. He always was. And God is. He is also present and actively involved in the ongoing history of all that he made. The blessings of his creation bear witness to us each day of the power and wisdom by which God made it all. The heavens declare the glory of God, the psalmist wrote, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The continuing generations of all that God made demonstrate the mighty power of God's word to sustain his creation. Over the course of 6 days, 6 evenings and mornings, God fashioned the universe to bring it from a state of formless chaos, embraced by God's Spirit, to light created, separated from darkness, and given to the heavenly bodies. And skies, seas, and land formed and filled with exuberant life. God's mission in all of this creation was to make ready for the crown jewel of his creation. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God made human beings to be like him, to know him, and to make him known as they carried out his kingly will over his creation. With man made, God's work was complete. And so he rested. God paused to survey everything that he had made, and it made him happy. It still does the same for you and me these days. This is the scripture passage that tells us why we find ourselves wonderstruck, looking at a range of mountain peaks covered with fresh snow. Why we feel calm and at peace, hiking along a forest trail. And why a sunset can stop us in our tracks. God's creation is good, very good. And thankfully, there are still times when we can see it and taste sweet drafts of our Maker's goodness. And yet, as we hear this creation story of God's, another kind of awareness is awakened in us. We sense that something's wrong in the universe. For if Moses' description of the world at creation is accurate and not some airbrushed ideal, then creation has lost something precious. Global warming, corporate greed, fanatical terrorism, cruel wars, wasting addictions, deadly diseases, and persistent hunger and poverty occupy and trouble God's good creation today. Evil twists, corrupts, obscures, and even denies the goodness of God displayed in creation. And that same evil infects us as well. In fact, Genesis chapter 3 accuses us of opening the gate to let it in. God created all by his word. In Genesis 1, we hear that oft-repeated refrain, "And God said, and it was so. And God said, and so God made." These words train us. Their repetition creates a pattern that trains us to expect that God is one who does what he says. But then Genesis 3 comes along and introduces us to a series of interrupting words. Did God really say? You will not surely die. Seduced by these words that attacked the integrity of God's words, our first parents separated themselves and us from the words that give us life. The language of faith by which we know and commune with God has become a foreign language to us, replaced by a vocabulary of disbelief, defiance, and discontent. Also strange to us is the language of love. Well, we speak the word enough, but we seem to have forgotten what it means, for we're unable to love our neighbors as much as we do ourselves. And the stories of most of the world's religions tell us of man's many attempts to find his way back to God. But all those stories are stories of failure. Something is wrong with human nature that human beings cannot fix. Now, it's hard for us to admit this, because the words our first parents believed promised that we can be like God on our own terms. And that root of pride still rules our hearts jealously. But our only hope of being free to return to God and know him in faith rests with God himself. From Genesis on, the Bible teaches and traces the history of God's just, kind, and faithful dealings with the fallen wayward ones that he created to bear his image. Though people could not come to God rightly, God came to them. God came speaking his words, words just like those through which he created the heavens and the earth. By his word, God led Noah to build the ark that saved a remnant of the living from death in the flood. By his word, God called Abraham to follow him in faith and obedience. God gave Abraham promises that he believed, promises that worked the miracle of a son born to aged Abraham and barren Sarah. God said that Abraham's descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky, and after many generations, they were. God said that Abraham's family would be a great one, a great nation that would be a blessing to all the other nations of the world. And over the centuries and years, that promise germinated, grew and blossomed into the hope that God would send a Savior to his sin-weary world. By his word, God created the heavens and the earth, and by his word, he redeemed it from loss. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. These words from John's Gospel echo briefly the words we heard in Genesis. And then they give full attention to the Word of God. The words God spoke through the ages did not return to him empty. God's words created the Word in human flesh. God the Son is that Word. Through the miraculous work of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word who was with God in the beginning and was God, became human, the man, Jesus, the Son of Mary. His whole earthly life was formed by the words of promise his father spoke to Abraham and his descendants. Jesus lived and spoke in a way that made God known. He bore the image of his father perfectly, and he taught with divine authority, cared for people with the heart of his father, and performed divine miracles, finally offering his life as the only sacrifice with the power to give us passport to return to God in faith. On the cross, Jesus finished his work for us and rested. He rested in the grave until his father called him back to life, wakening him after his three-day Sabbath. Then Jesus went to his disciples with words of peace and assurance and joy. His words opened the minds of his disciples so that they could see how their master had fulfilled every word God had ever spoken to bring his lost children back home to him. Would you and I know God today? There's only one way. We come to God by way of his word. The word who brought us to life in this world he created also gives us eternal life. He forgives us for our disbelief, our defiance, and our discontent. And he gives us God the Holy Spirit, who opens our ears to hear God speak and our hearts to trust and obey Christ's commandment of love. In baptism, the Spirit set us apart to live forever as God's redeemed children. As we hear Scripture read and preached, and also when we read it, God speaks to us. Sometimes we're too distracted to listen well. Even when we hear God aright, our trust in him and our love for other people is imperfect. But the Holy Spirit remains with us, teaching us, strengthening us, and guiding us in the way of God's words, forming our lives with his word. The word in human flesh, our Lord Jesus watches over us as well. He prays for us to remain in him, to remain in faith through life's trials. He waits for the time of his return, the resurrection of all people, the judgment of all, and that great renewal when God's heaven and earth will be made new and good again, forever free from bondage to sin and death. God said he would do this. God has always done what he says. And so we say, Amen. Let it be so, faithful God. Thank you for giving us to know you and to make you known through your word. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.